And thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star one. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I'll now turn the call over to your first presenter, Mr. Pradeep Nair. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining. My name is Pradeep Nair. I'm the product manager for Maximo Products. And today, we are going to cover the newly released product, the Maximo Archiving products that we released last month. And we have with us Eric Nyberg. He's from the Optim side. He's the product marketing for Optim, and he will cover the Optim portion of the presentation. They have more expertise and knowledge on the Optim tools, and he'll present that. And we're still waiting for Colleen. If Colleen joins, then she'll present the technical portion of the Maximo Archiving. If not, I will present all of the Maximo Archiving slides. All right, let's get started. Let's go to slide number three. So we have the agenda, and slide number three is where we start with the introduction. So for a number of years, we have been hearing this slow momentum or build-up of customer demand or request for some sort of archiving in Maximo. We used to have an archiving solution in Maximo 4 and lower version. It was a very rudimentary SQL sort of archive. You can get data out, and then when we moved into the web architecture, we didn't really have a solution at that time. And with consolidation of Maximo systems, as you know, Maximo 5 and 6 introduced multi-site, multi-org capabilities, customers began consolidating multiple sites and supporting, you know, global install of Maximo with multi-language and multi-remote site capabilities. With that, their data started growing exponentially. And you can see the example here, you know, they started, not only they consolidated Maximo, the traditional Maximo asset management for their production assets or facilities, they started expanding into fleet and now IT, and they needed a way to consolidate and archive all the data that they are gaining, building up. So one example is we have customers, one customer here who creates 65,000 work orders and you know, which ends up being a million plus a year. And when you have that many work orders, if you need it, obviously you can put in hardware and you know, clustering and all those technology to speed up and have good response time for Maximo. But if you don't really need all those work orders, you don't need to have that baggage that impacts performance. And you don't need to invest in production hardware to keep up with the performance and so on. So we have customers saying that, you know, they need to archive data and take when the archive data, being still able to retrieve or report on that offline, but mainly to improve their production system and response time. So the next bullet was basically the performance degradation. As you build up the data And if you don't scale the hardware accordingly, you obviously will have response time and the report generation impact, which a lot of times customers were saying, they don't need to invest on the hardware because majority of the data is historical and they only need to access it occasionally. So cost, every time when they upgrade, the cost of hardware, as we put in more capabilities and technology, we obviously demand more CPU and more disk space and so on. So the cost of hardware goes up. Every time an upgrade happens, they feel like the system is growing and the system is getting slower. So again, the request for archiving. And the last bullet is common when customers upgrading from a version of Maximo or Fixpack to a next Fixpack, when there's data changes, the upgrade process goes through validations and move the data to the next ref. And the more data you have, the longer it takes for us to validate all the data and move it to the next version of Maximo. So, again, they found this unnecessary, and they have brought all these points up in a number of sessions, customer advisory councils, at Pulse, and so on. Next slide. Let me get to this slide. So what they are looking for, the requirements is to take the data out, the Maximo data out, put it in a remote file or database, and still be able to access the data. So they want to take the data offline, put it remote, and remove the data from the production system, so they can keep the production system basically lean and mean, basically, improving performance and so on. At the same time, they want the archive data context to be preserved, and they want to be able to restore the data in the next version of Maximo or to a Maximo production Maximo system that they have changed. So you need a way to take the archived data and then remap it to the production system that they have at a later date. And when they do that, all the logic, business logic, should be preserved. So they don't want to archive and orphan data sets in Maximo, but they also want to restore data and make it whole, basically, so you don't have validation issues and Maximo applications crashing because data sets were not found and so on. At the same time, the offline data that they have archived, they would require that for planning and analysis, long-term scheduling purpose. When you do long-term analysis of a asset failure, you want to go back 3 to 7 years. At that time, you need a way to span the production data and the archive data. So this is where a lot of times their homegrown or custom-built solution fails, because it is not trivial, once you archive the data, to report on those data in a easy fashion. And the reason why, when we go into the solution that we have, the reason why we chose that solution is it allows you to do all those reporting against production and archive data, and look at the analysis and so on. And finally, you also need to have the data archived and available for any audits or compliance requirements. So that's another requirement. And the last bullet, again, they always need it for faster and smoother upgrade to the next ref. The longer they take to upgrade, the downtime increases, and they hesitate to upgrade, and they fall behind, and it becomes an issue for them and for us. So the faster they can upgrade, and the quicker they move up to the next rev, there's benefits to both the customers and us. Next slide, archiving benefits. Obviously, when you archive the data, and if you keep your production system lean, you will have an optimal system with the response time and quick reporting capabilities. And this is one reason why you want to keep only the data set that you require in a production system. Faster upgrade is obvious as a benefit. And I mentioned earlier that what we have seen and what you do want to do is simply throw hardware to just keep up with the thousands or millions of work orders or transaction data that you hardly use or you only use in a reporting manner. And there are many ways you can segregate or optimally configure the system to have the production system work on a smaller set of data for production purposes and reporting system work on an offline or a secondary system for reporting. And then finally, the benefit with a archiving solution is always you need to keep audit regulatory and audit requirement. Next slide. So what we are introducing is two products. One is, so we're on slide number 6 now. I just told to mention slide number. What we are introducing is the two products. One is the bundle that consists of the Maximo archiving with an IBM solution called Optim Data Growth Solution. Eric will cover a lot more details about Optim. I'll just give you a brief introduction of that. We actually looked around and compared a number of archiving solutions, and we actually had options to pick any solution. Obviously, we prefer to choose an IBM solution, but we looked at third-party solutions and Optim. Optim is a leader in the archiving space, and IBM actually acquired Optim recently in 2007. So when we looked at it, and it's already doing archiving for other enterprise systems like Siebel, Oracle, and so on, and JDA, and so on. So it made a good sense to investigate, and then when we looked into it, it actually met and exceeded the expectation that we had on a archiving that we were planning for Maximo. So the bundle that we offer consists of that Optim engine, the Optim DGS engine, and all the integration, what they call access definition or archiving definition, that is tied to Maximo. So you get the bundle, and you get the Optim engine, and you get the Maximo definitions that is standard out-of-the-box Maximo data set. The customer obviously have to tailor it for all the custom tables that they have added or other components. Another option, another product that we offer under the Maximo structure is the definitions itself. This is the scenario where the customer has Optim, an enterprise license of Optim, or they want to buy Optim independently for other solutions, and they want to add Maximo to that portfolio. In that case, they will just get the adapter, which consists of the archive definitions, and then plug it into the enterprise Optim and start archiving Maximo data. Next slide, slide 7. So what it is, what Maximo archiving is a solution that uses Optim engine. We provide what we call policies that it builds up the relationships of standard Maximo objects, the main objects, the transaction objects that we typically archive, the work orders, the purchasing data sets, workflow transactions, asset data, and so on. So we provide that out of the box. You can create your own policies for other areas. You know, if you have your custom application or if the customer has custom applications, they can build policies with that, with the tool, with the Optum tool. You can also extend it. If you, for example, we are providing policies for Maximo EAM out of the box. So if you want to extend it for industry solutions or other products, Maximo products within the Maximo family like TAMET or TSRM, you can extend by building additional policies. And it is with Maximo 621, fixed pack 62, it has to be on 624 or 625. Any other versions or the dot release, we need to verify support policy. So basically, if you come across a customer who's not on 624 or 625, we need to run it by myself, in development and support to see if it is supportable and so on. Same with industry solutions and the other consuming products of Maximo base, which is TAMET and TSRM. We are also planning to support Maximo 7. At this point, we think it's early next year. We haven't got a date, so we cannot put a date yet, so we're working on that next. Next slide. This is the archiving overview, and Colleen has joined us, so I'm going to turn it over to Colleen. Colleen, can you cover the next few slides?
Absolutely. Everybody can hear me, correct? All right. Thanks for taking the time, everybody. I'm going to go through a little bit about the archiving process and an overview of what we're doing ourselves. I'm going to move on to slide 9 right now. So basically, the archiving architecture that we're working with is the Optum client is going to get installed on a Windows client machine. It can sort of do its own thing and can be configured to run an archive right from the client machine. But if you're archiving several million records, what you probably want to do is do your configuration and your administration from a Windows client and actually promote the processing server itself to run on a server as opposed to on your client. So you do all your configuration from a client. There's a little Windows GUI that tells it, you know, sort of what it's going to archive, when it's going to archive. And then you've got the Optum engine itself, which is the workhorse, which you can put on a server, Windows or Unix. It goes directly through the Maximo, directly to the Maximo database itself. It does not go through the business objects. So if there are processing rules or any sort of validation that are done at the business object level, none of those will impact how we're doing the archiving. Optum stores the information about what it's going to archive and how it's going to archive in the database itself. It's the PST directory is just the sort of the schema that it goes into. And then that schema contains all the business rules and processing rules for how we're going to archive the Maximo data from the Maximo schema. The data is brought out of the Maximo schema. You can either bring it out and just archive it as referential data, or you can actually delete it from the source. There are different rules you can set up about that. And it actually gets put into archive files, which are compressed, immutable file formats. They can be stored on sort of any sort of device that you want. Can go on a server, can go on a tape drive, however meets the business needs. For the Maximo database itself and the PST directory, Optum pretty much supports the same databases that Maximo does. They actually support a few more things than we do. We've got DB2, Oracle, and SQL Server that we're going to be supporting. Next slide, which is number 10. The real workhorse of the Optum archiving is the access definition. Basically, this is where you tell it what tables are going to archive and what other tables are related to those tables and what the rules are going to be. So let's say, for example, if we take a work order, you say, all right, I'm going to archive a work order. Things that are related to work orders might be, you know, your transaction tables, MAC rec trans, serve rec trans, lab trans. You could have assets that are related. You could have parent work orders that have child work orders. You could have tools that are related. You could have spare parts or things in item master that are related. What we're going to do is we're going to give you the opportunity. We've worked with the developers who actually wrote work order. With their help, we've identified all of the related data. And we've taken a best stab working with our customers at what we think the criteria is going to be. So what we're going to do is we're going to identify the tables, all the things that go along with a work order, sort of in standard Maximo as it ships out of the box. You can add things if you've added your own tables perfectly acceptable. You can just add them in. And then we have some default SQL criteria that tells you how we're going to archive things. By default, we're archiving things with a status that's some sort of history, you know, closed, canceled, those kinds of things. And when the status change was more than 3 years ago, that sort of is the stake in the ground we've taken, but you absolutely can change that. So the access definition is what's used to find all the records that are going to be part of the archive. And then there are other requests that are archive requests, delete requests, restore requests, insert requests, update requests, and they use the access definition and the relationships that are derived from that access definition to, you know, sort of to do the work and to execute. I'm going to go on to slide number 11 now. So if you look at the screenshots, the screenshot on the left is a work order detail. So we've got a work order. If you see up on the top, there's a database that's going against. We've got the work order table. It's got a few tables that are going along with it. In this example, which is WP labor, WP item, INV reserve, it's in an Oracle database. And then when you click on there's a little red icon, or it's outlined in red in the table specifications column. It brings up a dialog that gives you the SQL selection criteria. So the SQL for this is status is closed and status date is greater than a particular criteria. So, you know, for this particular situation, it's a year ago. There's another tab within this dialog called selection criteria that lets you pick a field and just put a value right in the field. You don't actually have to write it in SQL. And Optum does support some substitution variables that are pretty cool, so you don't have to do an absolute date format. So we've leveraged some of that. If we go on to slide 12, the archive requests, as I mentioned before, are executed based on the access definitions. You can archive some things and purge other things. You can pick which things are going to be done. There's a facility where you actually can run the archive and defer the delete just to make sure you get the archive data that you want, and then you run it again with the delete. And it brings out a very detailed report that's just in an RTF format that tells you exactly what it did when it executes. So if we go on to slide 13, there's an example of the archive report. It tells you, you know, when it ran, who ran it, whether there were errors, whether there were warnings. In this case, there are some relationships that are not going to be used, even though they're in the new status. You might not have looked at these relationships to evaluate them yet. It tells you it looked at four tables, processed 42 rows. There were no errors. It tells you about the tables, the primary keys, the relationships that were used, what indexes it used for its processing. And then further down, it gives a little more detail about the exact SQL statements that were executed to find the related data. If we go on to slide 14, once the data is taken out, there are situations where people need to put it back. Our best practice is when you are you archive the data, you can then restore one or more archives into a reporting database so you can actually run reports. This database doesn't have to have optimal performance and tuning. It's just going to run a couple of reports. You're not going to have a whole lot of users hitting it, so it can be sort of very different in scale and scope and purpose. So let's say that, I don't know, for example, you're archiving once a month or once a quarter, and you need to do reports for a whole year. You can selectively archive you can archive everything and selectively restore just what you need for those reports to execute. And you can take, if you've got 12 archive files, you can put them all back in together so that you get 12 months with all of the things that you need just for the particular report that you need. Restore request uses an access definition, specifies an archive file. Looks very similar to what the archive request looked like. You know, you get a little dialog that comes up. You make all of your specifications. And then, again, it's going to give you a detailed report that tells you exactly who did it, when they did it, what the errors were, what it restored, how many files, where things went. The one thing that we find when we work with customers on this was that they would restore something and then they would get warnings that things weren't being restored a second time. So if you're out and you're working with this, if you restore, you know, let's say you restore a work order and there's a person record that comes along with it, and then you restore a purchasing table, and that also has person table that comes along with it. It's not going to update the same person records twice, so you need to sort of check those kind of things before you worry about errors on restore. And, you know, basically the way that the process is going to work, I'm moved on to slide 16 now, is you've got your Maximo production database. You want to reduce the size of it so it can increase efficiency, all the neat things that Pradeep talked about in the beginning. We're going to use the IBM Optum tool to do that. We've defined the archive definitions so that they take the complete Maximo business objects. You know, we've put some business rules and validations around it. For the last, you know, 2 to 4 years of data, you're going to take the archive files out, probably put them in an archive database. You're going to need to be reporting on things. 3 to 6 years of data, you probably can keep things in the file. That's not necessarily as necessary to have in near-term storage. And then over 6 years worth of data, you know, can potentially send it out into Iron Mountain, you know, put it on tape, put it, you know, wherever you need it. The one thing that's important to note here is that if you're using version 6 of Maximo and you're using Actuate for your reporting, our Actuate license that we ship with Maximo only allows clients to report against a Maximo database. So if they're doing reporting on the archives, it needs to be restored to a Maximo database for that to work. But Optum does have a neat tool that lets you do a sort of a universal access layer called ODM, and it lets you integrate with all kinds of additional report writers. You know, you can do mashups, you can do Excel reports, and it basically can make multiple archive files or even multiple databases and archive files mixing and matching together look like one thing from a report access perspective. So that's pretty neat. Then that's pretty much what I have for my set of slides at this point. I'd like to turn it over to Eric, and he's going to go into a little bit more detail on the Optum Data Growth solution itself.
Sure, great. Thank you. So slide 18, what is the Optum Data Growth solution? And you've heard a lot about it already, but I'll just give you a kind of a brief overview of what it is, where it is, and kind of how it's come about and how it's been driven thus far. So as Pradeep said, Optum was an acquisition done about 2 years ago of a company called Princeton Softech. The focus of the Optum solutions were around managing data growth or archiving, managing test data and test data management, so moving subsets of data from production into non-production environments, and lastly, data privacy, ensuring the security and privacy of data in those test environments. So what the Optum data growth solution does is it allows me to remove data from production, move it into an archive. That archive can live anywhere. It can live online in another database. It can move offline and onto disk or onto tape, for example. But it can also be accessed and retrieved. So what was really important here is many times customers, although they want to remove the information out of production to save costs, to speed up application performance and so on, they still need to, for regulatory reasons and other reasons, be able to get to and access that information. And what we're able to do is move the data off and either selectively restore, which is a very cool feature, actually. It allows us to not have to restore the entire database, but only restore the records that we want. So say we have a reason to move Eric's information from, for some reason, maybe I called into the help desk and now I hadn't been in the help desk for 2 years, so my information was offloaded and archived. It can selectively restore just my information into production, or we can do a set of information restored. We also can access the information, access that data via the original application in the archive itself, so it doesn't have to be restored back into production. We can also access it in other ways using XML, ODBC, JDBC, Crystal Reports, Cognos, and so on to get to that information, because as it's stored in the archive, it's stored as a real file. It's stored as if, even if it's not stored in a database itself, it's stored as if it was a database, so SQL can get to it and it can be read and so on. So the next slide, slide 19. What Optum does, and I just want to kind of give you a brief overview of Optum. So what Optum does is it supports different enterprise environments. As we started talking about, as we start from the bottom up here on slide 19, supporting different hardware solutions. So no matter where the information lies or needs to be stored, we support that. We support the different operating systems, whether it's Windows or Unix or Linux or iSeries or Z-Series operating systems, and supporting the different databases across that your customers may have and may be running Maximo on, whether it's Oracle or SQL Server or DB2 or DB2 on Z and so on, and different applications. So one of the things that I think you'll see is your customers may be seeing and looking at an enterprise archiving solution. So they may not just be saying, hey, we want to archive Maximo, but potentially they'll be saying, hey, we want to look at reducing our overhead across the organization. Maximo is one piece of that. What Optum allows me to do is archive not just that Maximo application or not just custom applications, but also packaged applications or ERPs like Siebel and Oracle and PeopleSoft and so on. And we have specific, just like we've done with Maximo, we have specific abilities and capabilities to read and understand the meta models of those applications and bring that information in as well. And so supporting really enterprise environments, whether it's an IBM or a non-IBM environment. What the little green means is those are things that are built by partners or other groups outside of the Optum brand. The ones in yellow are the ones that we've created ourselves. So you can see Maximo shows up because that's actually been created and being supported by you folks and your team. So the next slide, slide 20, archiving is really about the right set of information. So as I'm archiving information, I need to pull it out based on a business object or a set of information that is related. What Optum allows me to do is it's not just a copy and pull everything over, it's get the right information. So first off, understand the record. So pulling out the information and ensuring the integrity of that information, whether it's in a single data source or across data sources. So maybe you have, for example, a customer who's running Siebel and Maximo, and they're using Maximo to understand the assets of their organization and using it maybe as a help desk, help ticket type of scenario, but they're also tying Siebel into it. If those integrations exist, then we're able to actually extract and archive the information from both of the data sources together as a single object to allow me to really cover what customer and store customer together. and allowing those applications to still access it as needed. This is important when it comes to audits and regulatory affairs and so on. By being able to store the information in its original business context and ensure the integrity of that information as it's being stored out. So really providing that application record and so on. Slide 21, the next slide, and we talked a little bit about this already earlier on, but providing universal access to that information. So Optum provides a capability we call Optum Data Management, Open Data Manager. And what that allows me to do is get to the information no matter where it lies and how it lies and how it resides. So I can use the application to get to that information. I can write SQL calls to get to that information. I can use report writers like Crystal and Business Objects and Cognos to get to that information. I can use XML. I can also use, I think this is a little bit of an older version of this slide, I can use mashups as well. And mashups are integrated with and able to get to that information because it's really just stored out. Whether it's stored in the database itself, then it's fairly easy. Or if it's stored in an XML file or in some sort of flat file, what we're doing is tagging that information and sharing the information as if it was in a relational database so that I can get to it no matter what sort of technology I want to use. And this is also important. So if a customer is retiring an older version of an application, they can't rely on the older version to be able to still access that information. Yet they don't want to move it and consolidate it all the way over. So now we can provide universal access, application-independent access to that information, be able to see, visualize, report on that information if they needed to for an audit, for example, yet not rely on an older version of the application that no longer is supported and no longer exists. So really, you can get to that information anytime and anywhere in a way that you need to use it. So with that, I will hand it back, and slide 23 for the Maximo offering.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Colin. So let's go to slide 23, how we are packaging and offering this. So I mentioned earlier at the beginning that this release is for Maximo 624 or 625, and then 47 we'll have it soon, sometime next year. And the reason for that, I think some of you may wonder why we did this. Majority of our customers are on 6, and this is where they have the data growth going on. Maximo 7 is relatively new, and we haven't seen customers having a large database that requires archiving yet. You know, there are one or two, a few demand for it, but 6 is where the demand was, and so that's why we focused on 6 first. You know, get it developed for 6. It gives you an opportunity to present the solution to them and also talk about archiving the data so that they can upgrade to 7, another way to look at it. And then for 7, we are seeing a number of deals where customers buying Maximo are also interested in Optum, I mean the archiving solution from day one. And so that's good. So we position it accordingly, saying, yes, it will be available, but you have to keep in mind it's not something that we do with 7 today. And we don't see anyone buying 7 for the first time requiring to archive data in the next few months at least. It takes a while for Maximo data to grow. The part that we need to look for is customers upgrading from an earlier version to 7, maybe from Maximo 4 or 5, going directly to 7 and then wants to archive. This is where we may want to sell or offer services to get Optum configured for 7 and archive the data. Both the bundle, which includes Optum, and the adapter are priced as add-on to Maximo or the Maximo product family, which Maximo Asset Management, TAMET, and TSRM. And it is per user, and the way we look at it is you look into the customer account, look at the total number of authorized and limited use user, and you take that number. You know, if you have 100 authorized users and 300 limited use, so the total number is 400. That's a number that you start with in the pricing. So you multiply 400 with the per-user pricing, either for the bundle or for the adapter, and then we have to then, based on the number of initial deals that we have seen, we need to then look into the usage, the database size, and so on, and then price it accordingly. So we are looking for feedback on the pricing. This is the first time we're doing this, and we had priced it based on the Optum's standalone price and the effort that we have put in for developing the adapter for Maximo. So we are interested in all pricing feedback and field feedback on this. In terms of packaging, I think it's pretty straightforward, the diagrams there. The bundle has the Optum engine. It's a limited-use engine. You can use it for Maximo-based products from Maximo family, which is Maximo Asset Management, TAMET, TSRM. Out of the box, we are only providing, at this point, the access definitions for Maximo EAM, or Maximo Asset Management, and it is for 624, 625. If you see customers needing it for a different version or for industry solutions, you can definitely extend it, but we need to be careful in offering support. We only support the 624, 625 or the 62X release of Maximo. If they go back to an earlier version or some other version, that part is not supported. It's still services. For the adapter, we provide the definitions and you know, the documentation.
Pradeep, can I just comment
yeah.
in on the other version support? Just to make sure that everybody understands, basically what with other versions, the access definitions that drive the archiving are defined at the table level, not at the column level. So if there are not substantive changes in the table structure, the compatibility is fairly low risk. But for something like an industry solution where they add entirely new versions of tables, the risk is that if you don't architect the extensions to the definitions correctly, you can wind up orphaning data in the database and leaving records behind that are never going to get used but never going to archive. So the big thing there is to make sure that when you're extending, you need to make sure that you thoroughly understand the data models to do that.
Right, exactly. Right, so anything that's outside of the Maximo EAM, this includes the industry solutions, you know, the Tivoli Asset Management for IT and TSRM, you need to understand the data model. The services team need to understand the data model to archive. We can help with that. You know, the last thing you want is to archive and orphan data and mess up the client database. As time goes by, we'll provide support, out-of-the-box support for these products, but at this point, it's Maximo Asset Management 624-625. Right, did I cover everything, Colleen?
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, that people understood the risk and the complexity associated with this. Because you're deleting stuff from people's production databases, and clients are very, very, you know, from working with them through the development process, they're very, very sensitive about that and very, very worried about that. And I just wanted to make sure that we stress that with, you know, with everybody that's on the call, that really is, you know, the Optum tool is, it's very powerful. It takes some time to learn. But the data and the integrity of the data is really what's most important to our client base.
All right. Next slide. This will be the last slide. This is basically information for the field. Every time we do this, or every time I do a presentation, I think sales, I do get pinged asking, okay, what is the product number, or the PED, or the part numbers? So I've listed these part numbers, the main part numbers at least, for ordering. So you can look up the price and information related to this from your ordering system. I guess business partners have different systems than the sellers. So that's it. At this point, we'll open up for questions. Operator?
Thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name. Please do so when prompted. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please, for our first question. Al Layton, you may ask your question.
Hey, great. Hi, Pradeep and Colleen.
Hi.
And Eric. So two questions here. One is, several slides are you listed, several report writers that this that can access the data. And am I correct in assuming that was just a sample of some of the report writers? Because we've been on the sales side, and even from a directional standpoint, we're going with BERT in the future. And I didn't see BERT listed there.
So as long as BERT, as long as you can use BERT to access, so yeah, the answer is yes, because BERT's just an open source version of a commercial product that can write SQL calls, and as long as it can write SQL calls, it can access and grab that data.
Okay, I thought that's probably the case.
Yep.
Right, and you know, Actuate uses BERT, or some has licensed BERT, so it's very similar to Actuate.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually right. The one that runs that open source project in Eclipse.
Right.
Okay, perfect. My next question is this. I know oftentimes in the past large deals drive activity. So my question is, even though we're only supporting 624, 625 right now, and this is just with Core Maximo, let's say we have a situation where there's an industry solution out there and somebody wants oil and gas as an example, and they're really interested in this whole product. How long would it take us, what level of effort would it be to put a focus on something like this to say, okay, we'll be able to have Optum for you in X number of months, 2 months or 3 months or whatever. Is that a possibility, or are we not at that level yet?
It is. At this point, Colleen and her team is working on scoping Maximo 7. But, you know, as you said, Alan, Al, any large deals, industry solutions or so, something like that, that requires industry solution, we can prioritize that and see, you know, where it fits, right? I don't think it will take months to figure out the access definition, but it is the development priority that we need to juggle with. That is if you want a supported product, right? If the customer is looking for a supported product. But as I was saying, and I think Colin clarified, you can take the base definition that we provide and extend it for the industries in the field, but that involves services spending, we don't know the estimate, maybe a couple of weeks figuring this out for industry solutions and offering it as a services-led offering.
So, Al, this is Colleen. From my understanding of working with the Optum guys, and Eric, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but about half of the business that the Optum service units do is just with a standard data growth solution. They go in, and it's not with a packaged application. They write these definitions from scratch, just understanding the data model for people.
Mm-hmm.
So the Optum guys know how to go in, do the analysis of the data model, and extend out the definitions. And, you know, in the case of a Maximo industry solution, there are ERDs for the data models that I've gotten copies of. I believe they're up on Opal as part of the development center that's up there. You know, we've got, because it's internal to IBM, we've got access to the IBM developers who can, you know, help the Optum folks get stuff out. and it's not a coding exercise. It's the equivalent of creating new object structures within Maximo that just maps the data. It's
yeah,
not
so,
actually
like
C++.
It's more of a mapping exercise then, right?
Yeah, it's not like C++ or Java coding.
Okay.
It's mapping and then just testing it and making sure that you're getting all the right data that you want.
Okay.
So, you know, in terms of a services engagement, that's how Optum does a lot of their business. Basically, they said even if they ship, when they ship a packaged application, so when we ship these Maximo definitions, we expect the customers to change at least 20% of what we ship them just because they'll have added custom tables or they've added their own columns or they want special rules saying, you know, records of this type get archived once a month, records of this type get archived once a year. So,
okay.
Everybody,
so when
it.
Services does get involved, will it end up being a supported product then, or is it kind of a more of a one-off until we officially support it?
Well, we support the Optum engine and the Optum tool will be supported. And it's just the customization of the definitions. I mean, of course, we'll help them with the, you know, with the basic definitions.
Right.
But if they call in and say, you know, my access definition for archiving, I don't know, transportation work orders, for example, is leaving orphan records, we'll tell them to call services that support can't help them troubleshoot that, and we're not going to put out, you know, a fixed pack for the definitions for something like that. They need to engage services again to figure out where those orphans are coming from when they archive that particular table.
Okay.
So
well, I think that's good enough for now. And the reason I'm asking the question is because we get hammered on that frequently with customers. They kind of don't care about what our process is in development. They want what they want is now.
I just
needed to have kind of a relative idea of about what, you know, what our position might be on something like that. And you know, you described about what I thought we'd say. So.
And, you know, we've engaged with several different industry solutions. We had some people in T&D. We had people who were using transportation, people who were using life sciences and calibration that we talked with through the development process.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they all sort of understood that, you know, everybody's implementation is a little different and they were going to have to change it anyway. So it seemed to be acceptable to them. The regulated industries, they were a little bit more wanting to push back onto us and say that, you know, we were responsible for the archive definitions so that, you know, any sort of an audit risk went back towards us.
Sure.
But the other people were just like, you know, they were just very happy to not have to do straight SQL purge anymore or just buy more disk space. So.
Okay. Okay, that answers me. That gives me what I need. So, great. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ricky Vick.
Thank you. I manage the data management channels, especially Optum. The question for you is just to want to understand your go-to-market strategy with the partners, especially when we have Optum partners selling Optum. Are you encouraging Optum and Maximo partners to go collaborate together, or you're going to enable Optum partners that they can do services on their own?
Yeah, and this is pretty, but actually that has come up a number of times. The idea is we're not looking for collaboration, I think. The Optum partners, if they want to pick this up and offer the Maximo archiving piece, what the Optum group, you know, and Jim and others have agreed to look into is provide some sort of enablement. There'll be cases where you need to collaborate when there is sales related to Maximo. I don't think we are enabling you to sell Maximo, so that'll be a separate, you know, the Maximo sellers or business partners. But in terms of selling the archiving add-on, the Maximo business partners can do this. Likewise, IM sellers can sell this archiving solution, IM being the information management. And the IM business partners at some point will be enabled. This is something that we haven't reached yet.
Just to follow through. So for Optum, we have a very intensive certification process. Are you planning to introduce the same thing for Maxima partners to go through the same certification for Optum?
Certification of Optum?
Selling, servicing, implementation?
Servicing, no. Selling, yes. I don't know if you're going to follow the same certification process because it is bundled and included in Maximo. I don't believe we follow the same certification process as an Optum standalone. But in terms of servicing, what we have agreed is, you know, the Maximo team would not be providing the services. Like, we're not really enabling our services to build out the or extending the archive definitions. Our services are going to collaborate with the IM services to get that going. So likewise, I believe either the business partners or the Maximo sellers would need to collaborate with the IM business partners if a business partner is involved in the Optum sale.
Right.
Services.
Exactly. So there is a scope of collaborating between Optum partners and Maximo partners selling Optum.
For the services piece, yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nadia Servo.
Hi, Nadia.
Nadia, please check your mute button. Your line is open.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. I would thank you the team for the presentation. It's very good, very knowledge for us. So my question is related to what my colleague just said. It's about services and education. I was wondering, because here on GTS, we used to sell Summit and TerraSem products. And we usually ask it from our customer for the archiving, especially for some projects under migration from competitors like HP to Maximo Technology. So my question, is there any lines or guidelines to help the team designing and building this kind of project of migration, supporting already archiving policy, and any education for us to prepare on the Optum technology to sell it?
So I guess the answer would be, you know, the Optum team would be enabling the services for you. Now, are you part of GTS?
Of GTS, ITS France.
ITS France, and do you service
yes,
Optum?
Yes, I'm an architect, so I'm responsible for designing or building solution to sell it to clients, and Maximo, especially for IT, so Summit and SAM, not for asset management, called MAM.
Okay, so you're GTS for Maximo, right? But you don't service the Optum products.
Not yet.
Okay. Do you have GTS members in France that services Optum?
I don't know.
The approach that we're taking is within GBS and GTS. I know you are siloed by products and so on. In this case, you know, if you want training, I guess the Optum team can provide you the Optum training for services.
Yes.
Or you can collaborate with your colleagues in GTS France that knows Optum and work with them on the services. So that's the two types of approach. What we didn't want to do is start, and basically our GBS services said, you know, they didn't want to go through a training for supporting Optum because there is already an Optum knowledge base out there. So they would like to focus on Maximo implementation. You know, like GBS, and maybe for you, you know, we can see you installing this solution and, you know, bringing it online. But when you want to extend it using Optum tools, then you need to be certified and trained in the Optum tools itself. And that's something that we can follow up with the Optum team.
Okay. So this answered the first question, but for the second question, as we are planning to sell the 7 version of Maximo, Tamet, and Tyresim to migrate from competitors' tools, till now we don't have any solution for archiving.
Archiving in the competitor tool or in Maximo?
No, in Maximo, because actually client ask the sales to get the same functionality as they are doing today.
Right, the Optum tool can be used with version 7 currently. It's just a straight data growth solution, and you have to write your own definitions for you know, the TSRM or the TAMET table structures. Right now, the packaged solution that we're offering basically does 80% of the heavy lifting for Maximo 6 EAM, but the Optum solution is still a best-of-breed archiving solution. There would just be a little more services involved to get it implemented to do archiving in version 7 data model and the CCMDB, TSRM, or TAMET solutions, but it absolutely is still a viable solution.
Right.
Okay, so let's take an example of one of the customers that have a service management from HP running today, and we are planning to migrate their production under HP to Maximo version 7. So what you say that we can sell our product and sell on the same way Optum to archive what's the data from the HP tool.
Right.
Yep.
Well, yeah, with HP tool before they migrate and then once they migrate, you know, if they have the Optum product independently and they have an enterprise license for Optum, they can use it for Maximo 7 at that time too. We had a number of deals where, you know, customers bought Optum independent of Maximo because, you know, they are archiving Maximo data and their Siebel data and so on. So you can always get Optum independently from Maximo.
Okay.
And then, you know, in this case, for 7, we don't have a out-of-the-box product, but, you know, services like yourself, all the Optum services in France can help you with the archiving.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
And then, you know, the way to position it is at some point they'll get it out of the box. I don't know if you want to say that. If they're okay with the services offering, you know, you go with that. But you can always say it's, you know, down the road. At this point, we don't have a roadmap for TAMET 7. No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. At this time, there are no further questions.
All right. So can we wrap it up? I think 8 or 10 past. So, yeah, let's end it. If you have any additional questions or if you want to discuss any parts of this, I think the questions on business partner enablement is a very good topic. I know we have been discussing this with the Optum team, and we can follow up with you. If you could email us or send us the questions through the through this talk directly, that would be good. And I realize we don't have the email address. So let me give you my email address before I conclude, right? My email address is pnair@us.ibm.com. So just send it to me, and then I'll distribute it accordingly and then get back to everyone. And that's the best way to do this. Right. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Hopefully this helps and helps you sell more solutions for us and for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.